Let's go?
Yep.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for waking up early. First topic is how to get back traces.
Is the mic on?
Yes, it is. Hello. It's green.
It's green? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Try. Hello. Test. Working. Yes. Okay. So backtraces for C and C++ programs. So most of the time when we are running a C or C++ program, be it on Yocto or anywhere else, and we have an issue, then we get a seg fault, and that's about it. Can we do better than that? For sure. We can do something like that. So with some work, we could have a backtrace right in the stdout, stdr, syslog, whatever, displaying the call stack at the moment of the crash. That's not the only option to debug an embedded system. We could use GDB, but when you have thousands of devices on the field, using GDB is not really an option. We could use core dumps, but core dumps, they can be tricky, they can be heavy. They are dumping huge parts of the memory, which could include secrets. So they are also kind of tricky. And many times, having a backtrace can be very handy. So today's work, we will be mostly focusing on the ARMv7 architecture, Cortex-A8. And if you want to reproduce some of the examples that I'm giving, then you can compile a base Yocto image for QEMU, IRM, and run it using run QEMU. Now some simple C programs. So we have a main function calling the F1 function, calling the F2 function, calling the F3 function. So the F3 function is doing something terrible. And if we stop there, we will get the segmentation fault that we had in the first place, and that will be it. Another option that we have is that we can catch the segmentation fault signal that will be sent by the kernel and do some stuff over there. What would that be? So before we dive in, small reminder about the ARM assembly. So we have 16 registers, 0 to 15. 0 to 12 are generic, 13 is the stack pointer, so position in the stack, 15 is the program counter or instruction pointer, so position of execution, and link register or 14 is the place where we will jump to if we are entering function and we need to go back to return. And how does that work with this, the same example as before? So let's say we are in the F1 function, and we are about to call the F2 function. So we will use the branch instruction, and that instruction will update the R15 link register with the next address, so that will be that one, that will be executed once we get back from that function. And if we go to the F2 function, at the top of the function, we are pushing the link register to the stack so that it's saved. Then we are doing some stuff, and when it's time to return, to go back, then we are popping the link register into the program counter, and turns out that we resume execution over there. It's specific to ARMv7, but it's always more or less the same. What that means is that in the stack, at the moment of the crash, we will have few stuff that is pushed onto the stack, then we have the link register, the return address in yellow. Same for F2, same for F1. And if we want to get a backtrace at that point, it involves getting more or less the yellow boxes. But to get the yellow boxes, you need to know the size of the blue boxes, and that size, it can vary. How do we know the size of the blue boxes so that we can get all of those link registers? Turns out that out of the box we have something to do that. So that's the ELF, the binary that we are running, and it's a binary. It's not just machine instructions. It has some sections, and in those sections we have the red sections over there, which are ARMv7 specific. And those sections, they contain some instructions on how to unwind the stack, so how to get the sizes of the blue boxes. That's ARM specific. And then we have some stuff in green, debug frame, section 32, which is somehow generic, which is called dwarf because of elf, I guess. It also contains unwinding instructions, but that time machine agnostic. And there is also the EH frame, which is empty on ARM, but which cannot be, which is somehow not empty on other architectures. We can print those ARM unwinding instructions with readelf, and what we have is that for every section of our program, we get some kind of virtual machine instructions that are telling us how to unwind the stack. And they are giving us instructions on how to get R14, which is the link register, the precious R14. For the debug frame dwarf instructions, it's more or less the same. We have some kind of unwinding instructions to get R14 as well. If we go back to the program that I showed earlier and we try to unwind by ourselves, then we can use GDB to put a breakpoint into the segmentation fault handler and try to unwind the stack manually. So what would that give? So first, we can check for the program counter to see where we are at. And we see that at that point, we have 20 bytes of stuff in the stack, and then we have the link register. But we can deduce that by parsing the assembly, but that's not the point. The point is to use dwarf to do that. And for dwarf, we need to check our position, which is 65E. So that will be in that section. And dwarf says if you are past 658, then the top of the stack, the top of the next stack, is at 24, and over there, R14 lives at CFA minus 4, so at 24 minus 4, so at 20. So we have the same stuff, but that one is machine readable. If we have a look to the stack in GDB, so that would be 0, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, and that's the link register. And because we are in a segmentation fault handler, the handling is a bit specific because we have the kernel sending the signal, and then it does not get to the program, it gets to the GDBC, which has a trampoline that will call that syscall that will in turn get back to our program. So that's a bit specific, but what we need to know is that right after that instruction in the stack, we have some stuff that the kernel has put in there for us, and that stuff contains the registers at the time of the crash. And so if we have the stack pointer value and the right offset, we can have the PC and the SP value at the time of the crash. And so the PC value, that will be in the instruction when we are trying to load 3 at the address 0, and that's 67A over there. And there we can again use dwarf. That will tell us that the link register at that time is at 16 minus 4. And so if we do stack position plus 16 minus 4, then we get the link register. And the link register is in F2 when we are about to call F3. If we repeat that operation again, then we will get the position of F1, do that again, main, do that again, and we have the custom backtrace. So that backtrace, it looks like very much the one in GDB. So we had to work hard for that one, and that one is for free with colors and everything. But they are done in the same way. GDB is also using dwarf instruction, most likely, to unwind the stack and to print that nice backtrace. Now, there is another way to unwind the stack, which is quite popular. It's called frame pointers. And there, the concept is that the compiler, it will it will use a specific register, so it could be R7 in some mode with GCRM, could be R11, could be something else. And that register, it is meant to contain, at any given time, the top of the current stack, so the position of the top of the current stack. So that's the stuff that we get using Dwarf. And so whenever we are entering a function, the frame pointer is saved in the stack. And if we want to unwind with that, it's fairly easy. We need to read R7, which will give us the position of the top of the stack. From there, the link register is at a constant, is meant to be at a constant offset. So we get the link register, then we can read the previous R7, go back to the previous stack, do that operation again, go back to the previous stack, and then we have a backtrace without using Dwarf and in an easy way. So if you try to do that at home with GCC-RM in some mode with optimization, then you get no frame pointer. If you do that without optimization, then you get a frame pointer in R7, but it's flawed, it doesn't work. Like R7 does not contain the right stuff, and there is a ticket about that. It would be nice if it was solved at some point. If we are not in some mode, and we instruct GCC not to remove the frame pointer, or we use O0, then we will get a frame pointer in R11. And there, I will spare you the demonstration, but it works as I described, and you can get a backtrace by going from frame to frame. Do we need to do that manually? So it turns out not. There are some libraries to do that. One of them is libunwind. It has a not so nice API, but it does the stuff. For ARM specifically, if we have a look to the backends that are supported, we have Dwarf, so the stuff that we just saw. We have EXADX, which is the ARM specific stuff, and we have the frame pointer. For ARM, EXADX, it has some limitations, so I do not consider that one in that talk. The frame pointer, as you saw, it's broken in some mode with GCC, it's working with LLVM, and it's also broken in libunwind, so hard to use. And the dwarf stuff, libunwind has a generic dwarf unwinder that can be used on any given architecture, but it was somehow broken on ARMv7, and I have patched that. So now, if you use libunwind on the master with dwarf mode, then you will get backtraces. Now, if we take our binary and try to run it on Yocto, most likely, with libunwind, I mean, most likely we will not have anything. And the reason why is that out of the box, Yocto is stripping every single binary and library. And it means that we have tiny binaries, but which are empty of any dwarf instructions. And if we are relying on dwarf to do the unwind, then we are screwed. And to keep those dwarf sections, we can instruct strip to keep the debug frame section. And there we will have a tiny bit bigger binary, but we have the opportunity to get a backtrace. And that backtrace there, it has no symbols except for one, but we will see why later on. But it's already something. And if you know perfectly all the positions in your program, then you can figure out what does that mean. Otherwise, you can try to get symbols. How do we get symbols? They, again, live in several locations of the ELF. So we have the dynamic symbols in green. Those are needed for runtime linking because it's done with function names. So if your library is, or if your executable is a library, and most likely the symbols will live over there. That's the reason why we had some symbol previously. Then we have the debug info section. So that one is again a dwarf section, but with the symbols. And then we have the static symbol tables at the bottom. So if we strip, what's the result? The dynamic is still there because it's needed, but the static section is gone and the dwarf section is gone. And that's the reason why we had no symbols. We can work around that and keep the symbols by instructing strip once again to keep the debug stuff, so keep the dwarf stuff, keep the symbols. And there, we get that time a nice backtrace, and we have a tiny bit bigger binary. Another option is to use what's called mini debug info. And the, sorry for the back and forth. So mini debug info, the concept is that we take that big binary, we only keep, we make another ELF which only contains the dwarf stuff. We compress that ELF and we re-inject that ELF to the first ELF which has been stripped. So we have the initial stripped stuff plus this compressed dwarf section. That's mini debug info. That mini debug info mechanism, it's supported by GDB, it's supported by LibonWind, it's supported by several libraries. We can do that by hand by doing what I exposed, so doing the OBG copy, the strip, the compressing, and the re-injecting. And then we will have a slightly bigger binary again, but if we compile with LibonWind mini debug support, then once again we get a backtrace. Taking a step back, so if we keep everything, then most likely we will be able to unwind. If we strip everything, we will most likely not be able to unwind unless we rely on the ARM-specific stuff. If we keep the debug frame, then we will have the possibility to unwind the stack, but no symbols. And then we can either keep the static symbols or use mini debug info to get symbols. Let's take another example. In that one, we are using OpenSSL and we are doing a use after free, just before returning. So there, if we run that one in Yocto, we have a backtrace, and that one has at least two flows. So first, it's partial because it stops at the digest update, and we come from the main, so we should have main as number three. That's the first flow. And the second flow is that it has no symbols. The thing is, we still have this EVP digest update, and the reason why is that OpenSSL is a shared library. That one lives in the dynamic section that I exposed, and that's why we have that one in the backtrace. Now, the reason why we have a partial backtrace, that's because, by default, as I said, Yocto is stripping everything. So if we tell Yocto, please keep the dwarf stuff for my binary, we need to do that for all the libraries that our C program might ever use. And that's not possible in Yocto out of the box. So I have a patch in Yocto to add a local.conf option, which is called package keep sections. And that option is instructing stripped to keep some sections, as we saw. That patch has never made its way upstream because people were confused between mini debug info, dwarf, everything. I did not get that one upstream, but I see some Yocto shots in the audience, so now that you know about all of that, it would be nice to reconsider and either take that patch or find a way to instruct Yocto to keep some specific sections that we want to preserve. On the other hand, Yocto has support for mini debug info. So what we can do is that we can combine the dispatch and the mini debug info feature of Yocto. And for so the sizes are the sizes of the core image, the compressed core image. And for a small overhead, we can have the debug frame and the symbols. Of course, we can keep everything by setting inhibit package strip to 1, and in that case, Yocto won't strip anything, and then we will have everything we need. But it depends on your use case. It could be that 200 megabytes is perfectly fine, and then you don't need to bother with strip and everything, and you can just keep the image as it is, and do your unwind, and it will be fine. But if you are operating with constrained storage, then it could be interesting to fine-tune what strip is doing and keep the unwind, keep the symbols, and have backtraces. So now we have a full backtrace. We have the main function, as we saw, and the rest of the backtrace. Yes. So in conclusion, if you want to do some unwinding in your C and C++ program, then you need to have some unwind information. Could be dwarf, could be some architecture-specific information. Then you need the symbols. They can be the static symbol tables, they can be dwarf, they can be mini debug info. Then you need an unwinder. So it could be libunwind. It could be that you write that one by hand, as we saw doing that manually. It could be something else. If you need to preserve some some sections of the ELF, then you might need to patch Yocto. And if you do all of that, then you can get to have backtraces for your C++ programs in the syslog or in the logs. And I found that very handy to have directly the crashes at the customers pushed from the logs without having to do GDB core dump, anything. I think it's a nice addition. So that's about it for that talk. I guess we have time for some questions.
Thank you for your talk. If I understand it correctly, it should also work on Cortex-M and also ARM V8. So this should be pretty universal. So there's no hardware limitation, nothing is missing, except of this bad case with Thumb and O0.
Yeah, so So Thumb is specific to ARMv7, as far as I know. So if you want to rely on frame pointer to do the unwinding on ARMv7, then you need the frame pointers. So it can involve not using Thumb mode, or it can involve using anything else than GCC or patching GCC. And if you are using ARMv8, then you won't get this ARMv7 specific EXIDX sections, but you will get, for sure, the debug frame stuff, which is in there by default on Arch 64 and on x86, as far as I know. And the reason it's there by default on those architectures is that C++, the throw catching mechanism of C++, it also relies on that stack unwinding mechanism. And so it needs to have some sections in there. And so on every architecture, there is at least one unwinding section of the ELF that is not stripped, so that C++ can do its stuff and unwind in case of an exception. And so on ARMv7, C++ is relying on EXIDX, which is architecture specific. On ARMv8, it's relying on debug frame. So they won't be stripped by default, even on Yocto. So their patching is not necessary. And on x86, I guess we have frame pointers by default. And if not, we have that debug frame section as well, which is in there. And other architectures, I don't know.
You mentioned EXIDX. If I understood correctly, you said that you had issues or you did not consider it. Is it because it is too complex, it is lacking support or anything?
So I had two issues with that one. The first is that, as I mentioned, it's architecture specific. So if you have libunwind patch for that one, fine-tune everything, then you need to port your mechanism to another architecture, then you will depend on a completely different stack, and that's somehow problematic, to me at least. The second issue that I have is something that is also known by GCC. With those EXIDX, in some frame they are issuing a can't unwind instruction, and that one is preventing unwinding to go further. And in some specific C++ stuff with exceptions, sometimes you have partial backtraces because of that can't unwind instruction. That's known to GCC. and they will maybe do something about that, but for now it's I have experienced issue in printing backtraces in C++ with around exceptions because of EXIDX. And there, instead of trying to make things right in GCC, the smart move for me was to switch completely to Dwarf and to get rid of this EXIDX stuff. That's the reason I did not consider much those sections.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We are out of time. Thank you for the talk.